God bless your wonderful hearts. Thankful that we can get into this wonderful subject, very important subject of the battlefield of the mind. We're going to be doing part two, the final part here. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 8, please. As you remember last week, that we were talking about a battle that was going on. There's a war going on, and it's going on in your minds. It's a battle. And behind this battle are two great desires. And if you remember in John 10:10, we saw those two great desires. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they, mankind, might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We have the thief, the adversary, the devil. All he's into is stealing, killing, and destroying. God, you know, represented by his Son, he came that we might have life and have it more than abundant. We saw in John 8:44 that the devil, the adversary, he's a murderer, he's the father of lies, and there's no truth in him at all. We saw in James that also some other characteristics of the adversary, that he promotes envy, strife, and every evil work. We also learned that the wisdom of God, God's wonderful word, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, who wins the battle of these two great desires is you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We make the decision. God gave us the ability, freedom of will, to make the decision who we're going to believe. You know, perhaps the biggest trick going on in this world is that there is no adversary. You know, what are you talking about, the devil? Yeah, sure, we've got Halloween. I'll talk about the adversary devil. You know, and we've got schools with the red devils and blue devils and all that stuff. But that's just names. That's just holidays. Hey, there is an enemy. There is a devil. And you know what? It's not like we float around in life and things happen and whatever happens, it happens. If we're in the right place, great. But life is not really about that. You know, one day after learning and understanding a little bit of God's word, I believed Romans 10:9. I got born again. I confess with my life, my mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I got saved. I got born again. I went from death, eternal death, to life eternal in a relationship with God Almighty. Now that was done by a simple decision in my heart and a confession in my mouth. Thankfully, we have a God that opens the way for us to understand him and his love and what he's made available for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're doing a quick review here. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. And we can see these two contrasting gods and their desire. For they, verse 5, chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So logically, what do you want? What would you pick? We want life and peace, okay? So I want to be spiritually minded. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God in the flesh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Well, how do I know if I'm in the Spirit? Let's read on. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So here's the great contrast. And we have the privilege to choose in our mind which way we want to go. Which way we want to go. You know, we looked at Genesis and we saw the first great battle between the adversary and God and God's man, Adam and Eve. We learned that Adam and Eve had an idyllic lifestyle, just a tremendous relationship with God Almighty. They had spirit within. It was just the greatest thing going. The only condition God put on them is that you would not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. Pretty easy, pretty simple. Well, the adversary comes along, and what did he do? Did he say, hey, why don't you try this fruit here, huh? This is great stuff. He didn't just jump out and throw his way at her, but he was very crafty and sneaky, right? He was very subtle. The serpent is very subtle. And we learned the road down. First thing he does is to get Eve to question the integrity of God's word. Did God really say that? Did God really say if you eat of this tree that you will die? That's just the first step down. Get you to consider error. Consider or question the integrity of God's word. And then number two, respond by considering. Respond by considering. He got her to respond and get involved into the conversation to consider what he had to say. And then on the third point, she mishandles God's word. She adds, subtracts, changes God's word. And what happened? She believed the error of the adversary. And they did eat of the tree and they lost spirit. And that wonderful connection, spiritual connection with God. So, because God gives everyone freedom of will, she chose to go the other way. Now, God has designed man's mind to work to believe in Him. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at how God designed man's mind to work best in believing Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Remember that word understanding. That's going to come up a little later on and how important it is to understand the truth of God's word. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding, your five senses understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. God has designed man's mind so that he can trust in God. He can trust in the spiritual realities that He has made available for man. Now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says here in verse 3 of chapter 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What's the promise of God's word if you stay your mind on Him? Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. It's actually a double usage there of the word peace. Shalom, shalom. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We have the privilege and opportunity how God designed our man to trust in God, to keep our mind on God and the truth of His word. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now there's something in 2 Corinthians we got to look at. 2 Corinthians, please go there, chapter 10. We're going to be working the word here. I believe that's why you're here, because you want to understand the things of God. You want to learn and grow so that you can walk out in the greatness of this great, the great promises of God, to live the life that's more than abundant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Boy, that's what we do. We have the privilege to think our own thoughts. You know, maybe some thoughts float on in there. We have the privilege to say, hey, no, that thought is not a blessing. It's not on God's word. We can lead captive our thoughts. What about Eve when she was tempted? She let her thoughts consider what the adversary had to say. She had the opportunity to say, no, that's not the word. It is written. Jesus Christ was tempted, wasn't he? The adversary confronted the Lord Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ sit down and say, well, let's talk about this. Let's consider what you have to say. Let's look at your side of the story. No, he didn't. What did he say? He brought it right back to the truth of God's word. It is written. It is written. And we have the privilege, the ability in our mind to captive, lead captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's our ultimate goal, isn't it? Let's take a look at 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. A neat little scripture in here. A couple of verses. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. First Kings 19:11, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." All hell can be going on around you, and you, in your mind, have the ability to go beyond that. You know, not allowing that to determine what you're going to decide to do. That small, still voice of God is there. And we need to listen for that. We need to listen for that. So our mind works best when we keep it stayed on God, trusting in Him. And as we lead captive our thoughts in the obedience of Christ, and we listen for that small, still voice. Well, let's look at some things, how the adversary works, how he beguiles the mind of man, how he functions and works. And I want to encourage you too, with the newsletters you received today, there's some things in there in light of the strategies that the adversary uses to trick man. We're going to see some of those here as we open up some of these points here. But I want to encourage you to read those teachings there. And then there's a wonderful teaching by Dr. Victor Paul Wirwell that I think we'll really put things together for you. So encourage you to read the newsletter and the teachings in there. Okay, the first one we want to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, Satan's aim is to get man to question the true God. Get man to question His word and His ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, It says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, he is deceptive. Remember, he got Eve to question the integrity of God's word. He got Eve to consider and get involved and got her to even get to the point where she added, subtracted, and mishandled God's word. So God's word encourages us to be aware of the adversary and how he functions, because he wants us stressed out all the time. He doesn't want us to have peace in our life. He wants us full of worry and doubt. That's his fruit. The fruit of the adversary, believing him, is doubt, worry, and fear, and we don't want that. He's blinding the minds of believers so they don't believe God's word. We're in Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me, chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Did I tell you 1 Corinthians last time? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just take a look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The adversary, the devil, is the God of this world. Do you see why this world is filled with hate, dislike? People are fighting, killing each other. You know, that's not the fruit of God's lifestyle, is it? That's why we got all this junk going on. It's because the God of this world is doing a lot. He's calling the shots for the most part. He's calling the shots. And he wants to blind. The God of this world wants to blind the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. Man, you and I, what does that tell us? The Lord Jesus Christ is where it's at. Boy, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way or a truth or a life. He is it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's who we want to stay focused on and not have our minds blinded by the adversary. Chapter 11, verse 14. Let's take a look at that. You got to understand also, the adversary just doesn't come out and jump out and say, boogie, 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 and scare you. He's pretty crafty. He's pretty tricky. You need to understand that. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So he comes off many times looking pretty good. Baits you a little bit, huh? He baits you, just like when you're out there fishing. You got this beautiful lure, looks pretty good. The fish sees that and he bites on, but what happens? He gets hooked and eaten up. Later on, depending on what kind of fish he is, huh? Okay. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at the sower and the seed. Some good learning here in light of how man receives and handles the word of God, and what the adversary does to trick man, to interfere in him receiving and understanding God's word. So in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So this is the first category, is someone that hears the word, you know, the word of the kingdom, But he doesn't understand it. And I tell you what's going on all over the place is people are teaching the word, but it's not accurate. And no wonder people don't understand it if it's not accurate. You know, we stand approved before God by rightly dividing the word, right? And that's important. That's what we're into. Our ministry is into the integrity and accuracy of God's word so that people can understand it and believe it. Because if you don't understand it, what's going to happen? Whip, he's going to take it right out of your heart. Whatever it was sown in your heart. He's taking it out. The second category is, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon, immediately with joy receive it. Boy, you hear the word and it sounds pretty neat. This is great. This is exciting. Yet hath not root in himself. Doesn't get rooted in the word. Excited, boy, this is thrilling, but doesn't really root the word down in his heart. But dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. You know, they're excited, people are excited about the word, but someone comes along and says, hey, you go to that fellowship, San Diego Biblical Studies Fellowship, in that old house of Talbot and Rosecrans? Man, you're wasting your time. Oh, maybe I am, you know? So this is one of the tricks of the adversary that we need to be aware of, how he gets to man, because the word is not rooted in their life. The third category, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Gets into the word, pretty good stuff. But what about the cares of this world? What about my mortgage? What about having a nice new car? What about having a second nice new car? That's important. The first one might break down. I got to have it. You know, why not be a millionaire? If I have all this money, I can do a lot of things. You know, I've heard people say, you know what? I think the things of God is great, but I'm going to go make a million and then I can help the ministry. I've never seen that work. Never seen that work unless God directly tells somebody to do that. Okay, so what do we got to be aware of? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So something to think about, look out for. Okay, finally, the fourth category. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and what? Understands it. Boy, that's so important that we understand God's word. I tell you what, I searched high and low when I was a young man. I was hungry for God and the things of God. I thought the Bible, though, was probably the last place I would find anything true because I go to church and one church teaches one thing and the other church is something else, the third church, a third doctrine. I mean, he couldn't understand it. So I checked other religions, and I couldn't understand that either until I took a class that showed me how the word fits like a hand in a glove. That I could believe. I could see it work. God wrote his word so it could be simple, easy to be treated, pure, right? My goodness. So understand the word. So I'm real blessed that we stick to working the word and having it rightly divided, so that people can truly understand it. What's going to happen if you do this? What's going to be received? 100-fold or 60-fold, 40. Either one's fine with me. Man, oh man. Or 100, 60, and 30. Wow. Well, how can we work with our mind to beat the adversary? Let's take a look at 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, what can we do here now to be sharp so that we can understand the word, that we can be fruitful, that we can be truly a blessing to God? First thing we want to do is to read God's word much to feed your mind the true words of life. You know, if we're going to battle the adversary in our mind, we got to have some good ammunition, right? No blanks. And God's word, that's why we fill our mind with the truth of God's word. It says here in verse 4, whereby are given unto us what kind of promises? Good promises? Okay promises? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these what? Exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we want to feed our minds the truth of God's word so we have the best ammunition possible to deal with the adversary when we battle him in our minds. You know, we need to get, of course, number two here, we need to get born again of God's Spirit and have Christ within. Number three, control your thoughts on who you are in Christ as a son of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. If you have the first notes, it says first, but it should be 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We actually looked at this verse already, but let's read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If there's anything taking priority over God's word, what do you want to do with it? Cast it down. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, that's what we can do to build the word in our mind so that we can battle effectively against the adversary. Number four, we're going to save. I want to close there. So briefly, point number five says, exercise your power of attorney using the name of Jesus Christ, which is above every name. I'd like to read these three verses to you. You don't need to turn there unless you're real quick and follow along. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. We have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. And what has to bow to it? Everything. What? Up in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. I don't know what's under the earth, but everything, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, God's heart's desire is that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's to the glory of God the Father. And you and I have the privilege to help people, right? We're called. We have the ministry of reconciliation to bring people back to God, to share with them the words of life. You see, that's in the battle of our mind as we consider these things. What should really come out of that is a great desire to function in the body of Christ as God has called us, to function as sons of God with all power, to move God's word over the world, to move God's word over San Diego so people have the opportunity to see the accurate word of God, understand it, believe it, get born again, and they too shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to be a what to God? A glory to God. Wow. Number six is, and this is your homework, by the way, is to put off the old man and put on the new man, and these are in Ephesians 4:22 through 5:2 and Colossians 3:8 through 17. We're not going to look at it now, but the renewed mind is so important. Essentially, it's putting off the old man and putting on the new. You know, if somebody brought me a nice suit of clothes right now, would I just, you know, take them off the hanger and put them on over my clothes that I have now? No, that's crazy. I wouldn't want these old sweaty clothes on over my new suit underneath it. So I take it off. I get rid of the old man, all the old clothes. I just throw it away. Then I put on these new clothes, man. Wow, I'm in Christ. So that's the essence of the renewed mind. And you'll see that as you read those two sections in Ephesians, Colossians. But let's close in 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. I trust you'll take the opportunity to work these things this week and work these into your heart and mind. So when the adversary tempts you, he throws stuff at you, you'll be able to deal with him effectively and fruitfully. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And the word arm means, one translation indicates that it's putting it on as you would put on armor. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We want to live the rest of our life to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, you got these great friends that you used to know in college, and you go out and just have a good old drunk time. You know, and they'll come around and say, hey, it's like old times. Let's go out and really bust one up. Hey, we've already done that, many of us. And you young folks, don't do it, all right? You don't need to experience that. It's ugly, and then you're just going to have that wedged in your brain cell. Don't want that. Verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, whole-minded, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have, what kind of charity? The love of God. Fervent, white-hot, fervent, love of God among yourselves, for charity, the love of God, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, very thankful and grateful that you have called us to be your sons, born again of your Spirit, that we can have Christ within, that gift of Holy Spirit, that we can use that, Father, effectively, that we can walk with your power manifested in our life. And Father, as we consider things, as we live life and things come through our brain, I pray, Father, that we can always put you first, that we can always lead captive our thoughts to Christ and to you, Father. So I pray for each and every person here that hears this teaching, that they can rise up even greater than ever before to believe you, to walk for you, to be their best for you, so that we truly can be a glory to you. And we're thankful that you've already made us so wonderful and great, and what a privilege it is to continue to live our lives for you, Father. So I pray these things in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, man.